This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:07 on the evening edition. You're with Kelvin and Hezriel. And we're now looking at how government leaders should be held accountable when they make political gaffes. This is in light of Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil's call for Communications and Multimedia Minister Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah to resign. This is following the outcry over the minister's earlier statement that all filming, including on social media, requires a FINAS license.
So before we continue with the story, here at BFM, we've been covering the FINAS license issue since yesterday. And earlier today, we did attempt to contact the minister for clarification. Unfortunately, we didn't manage to speak with him in time for the show.
Right, and back to the story. YB Fahmi says that he's calling for the minister's resignation because Datuk Saifuddin has made three missteps since his appointment in March. Specifically, he cited the following instances: the FINAS license issue, of course, revoking the 5G ban allocations, and withdrawing Eric Paulson's appointment to the Communications and Multimedia Consultative Council.
So all of this brings into question what exactly justifies the resignation of government leaders, also what constitutes a gaffe in the first place and how they should be measured. Because while they're not ideal, making mistakes is arguably part and parcel of governing, and ultimately no policy is going to be perfect.
So I think before we get into discussing that very point, I think it's important to just point out that at least on the note about the FINAS license, the cabinet today agreed that the license FINAS Act won't be used to restrict our personal freedom, specifically on social media. And they're even thinking of maybe amending the act. So that's been in the discussions. Back to this point, though, I think with being in government, with policy making, I think you always have to have room for mistakes. And I'm saying this with a lot of right? There are simple mistakes, there are serious mistakes, and then there are ones that are simply fatal. So looking at each of them, how do you categorize it? And how do you consider whether or not, well, this mistake is just one too many? It's kind of hard to wrap my head around. With the Pakatan Harapan time, a lot of times we were thinking, well, okay, some of these ministers haven't even had a ministerial post or even any sort of role in government before. Of course, they're going to make mistakes. And at the same time, you also had, well, look at them proving us right. They're just making mistakes over and over again. And I guess some similar arguments could be applied here as well with the Perikatan National Government.
Yeah, and I think one thing that sticks out is this three strikes and you're out sort of principle. It looks like it's just, coming out of nowhere. Historically, there's been no precedents in Malaysian politics that if someone makes three mistakes, then they should resign. And it's also worth noting that, a lot of these issues were backtracked, right? They were not necessarily mistakes in the sense that they already yielded very, very detrimental consequences. For instance, Eric Paulson's appointment to the Communications and Multimedia Consultative Council, you could say that perhaps the minister withdrew it so that he wanted to prevent unwanted consequences, or the fact that he revoked the 5G ban allocations in time. So I think, to be fair, it seems like a matter of perspectives, and that these things were follow-up actions to things that were done before. So arguably, they may not be mistakes in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. And really, that's where it also counts. Who is bringing up these errors? Who is painting? How serious are they painting a certain issue, right? Some mistakes might be very light and forgettable, but they don't make it forgettable by just highlighting it constantly over and over again. Some things are just painted in different ways. So I wouldn't say the same for this instance, for example, with this particular act, the FINAS Act, right? It is a very old law, very archaic, one that's regressive, and one that does need some amount of changing because it no longer reflects the society that we are today. So, for the initial response and the follow-up ones, I guess it could have been done quite a bit better. But as to how many How many free kicks do we give? That's also up for consideration.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said of where Malaysia's political culture is with regards to accountability and resigning, you know, and making missteps. Because if you look at Japan and South Korea, it happens, you know, every few months. The moment a minister makes a mistake, they resign immediately. And whereas in other cases, like in New Zealand, I think, where the health minister broke his travel restriction, or their own quarantine, there was a warning, and then it was later on he resigned. So there's certainly something to be said about contextualizing where we stand with accountability and resigning, and what counts as a very serious mistake and what, you know, just a minor misstep that can be forgiven.
You can let us know where you stand on this. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Ame Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Stay tuned for that conversation. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:15. You're with Kelvin and Hezril on the evening edition, and we're talking about political leaders and how many mistakes is one too many for them, as well as how do we keep them accountable. We're now going to cross over to Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Amir, thank you so much for joining us on the show. First off, what do you consider a serious political mistake?
Well, to me, a serious political gaffe is when a politician accidentally reveal something that he or she is not supposed to, private thoughts, for example, on a policy matter with big implications, which he or she should not be making public in the first place. And the key is, to me, I think, is whether or not it's detrimental to his or her standing as a politician or to his or her political party or the whole government standing as a whole. There are also gaffes where, for instance, I remember many years ago when someone asked President Bush of the US, who was the Prime Minister of India, and I can't remember, he gave a wrong answer. That is political gaffe to me, with an implication on foreign policy, because it did have a negative impact on bilateral relations between US and India. If it is not intended to be revealed, then to me, if you reveal it to public, something that is not intended to be revealed, then it is serious. Or if it is an absolutely absurd idea that invites ridicule or cause unintentional public backlash. But then again, what constitutes a serious gaffe depends on the audience and whether or not the majority of the society think it's a gaffe, and how you come back from that, because that determines the longevity of that particular gaffe.
What are your impressions of the policy missteps by Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah as raised by Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fadzil?
Of course, when he said it in Parliament, it caused so much of a public uproar that it dominated the whole entire digital online conversation yesterday on all types of social media. People were asking the question, do they need a license to film videos on TikTok, on Instagram and stuff like that? And that it worried people. But of course, then the minister issued a statement yesterday and another statement today, if I'm not mistaken, to clarify the position on that issue. On the points raised by Lembah Pantai MP YB Fahmi Fazil, to me, as a member of Parliament and then as an opposition MP who is also the shadow spokesperson for communications for his party PKR, YB Fahmi Fazil is entitled to raise such issues and demand for his cabinet counterpart to step down. This is, in my opinion, it is part of a healthy Westminster-style parliamentary democracy practice. Because if you look at the UK, for example, there will always be calls made by shadow cabinet members against their counterpart in cabinet to step down over what is seen as missteps or any other serious allegation.
Well, was this one particularly serious enough to warrant to call for the minister's resignation?
If you look back at YB Fahmi Fazil's statement, it's over varying issues. He said three strikes, first on policy matter for on the spectrum issue, and then on the U-turn and the appointment of lawyer Eric Paulsen, and thirdly is the FINAS license issue. To me, it is it did cause public backlash, but he has explained the position, and as long as that is not so acceptable, but he's explained the issue and clarified the issue, whether or not it warrants a resignation is very subjective. At the end of the day, your position in cabinet is up to the prime minister, whether or not you still enjoy the trust of the prime minister. Of course, the court of public opinion can have one opinion of you, but whether or not that affects the prime minister's confidence in you is a separate matter. And to me, if it doesn't involve more serious issues, abuse of power, corruption, and things like that, then it is not something that we see in Malaysia that warrants a resignation.
What political impact do mistakes like this have on politicians in the Malaysian context, like you mentioned just now? Do they have a lasting impact on the public's impression, or do people tend to forget and forgive quickly? Mazli Malik comes to mind, for example, as someone who wasn't quite able to shake off his public mishaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen that certain things stick longer for certain people. But of course, when you have a lot, when one politician has a lot of these kind of issues, then it dilutes his personal, that politician's personal brand and standing. You rightly pointed out, for instance, Mazli Malik was remembered for many, many issues like the swimming pool issue, black shoes, stuff like that. Other ministers, flying car, remember, spoonful of palm oil. And if you look even further back during BN's time, remember Ahmad Maslan and his brim explanations. It depends on how these politicians learn from their mistakes and whether or not they repeat it. However, if it happens too many times, then when it becomes a trend, then someone is deemed unfit in public eyes to hold office, that becomes a problem. Because when you say something, when you look at Mazli Malik's case, when too many of these kind of issues, then it's difficult for people to take him seriously after that.
Right, and drawing it back to today's conversation, YB Fahmi said that this was Dato' Saifuddin's third strike. Are there accepted approaches to determining whether a minister is fit to serve and who should do it?
Well, if it involves a wrongdoing, an investigation into a wrongdoing, if you are talking about whether fit or not to serve, then the relevant authorities must investigate the matter. And if it's clear, then the person is fit to serve. As I've pointed out just now, court of public opinion, whilst it is important, it in itself is insufficient to determine whether one should step down or not. Because at the end of the day, for cabinet members, it is whether you have the confidence of the prime minister. For normal MPs, if they become a liability, political parties, if they don't offer to resign, because often the case in Malaysia, if you've seen in the past, no minister would want to own up to their issues and offer. Not many people want to offer their resignation. Serving as a cabinet minister is a very prized position to be held in Malaysia, and therefore not many politicians are willing to accept that they've made mistakes and offer resignation to the prime minister. But back to for MPs, if they are if they become a liability, the political parties themselves might consider dropping these politicians from contesting in the next election. That in itself, to me, is a reprimand. Or if the politician is too big of the public doesn't like him, then he will lose the elections if he were to contest.
In Malaysian politics, our leaders don't tend to resign or stand down when they're caught up in a controversy or scandal. Having said that, are there certain kinds of mistakes or scandals that have a greater or smaller impact?
If you look by, if you let the Western standards and the Malaysian standards for this, right? If you look at other democracies, if it is a big sex scandal, it is a corruption scandal, then usually the ministers, the politicians involved will offer their resignation. But we don't see that happening much in Malaysia. We probably, if you remember looking back at history, if I remember correctly, probably only former health minister Chua Soi Lek resigned over his sex video scandal many years ago. We have to make it clear that a gaffe is not necessarily a scandal. And if you were to dismiss politicians on the ground of pure incompetence, then for the case of Malaysia, every time when you form a administration, then you won't have much of a cabinet anyhow. Because at the end of the day, it is whilst competency is important, we don't usually see ministers being dismissed on the ground of incompetency, sadly, for Malaysia's case.
So what are the ways that politicians can show accountability then?
Yeah, so for accountability, apart from resigning, one can, of course, offer to clarify, if it's less serious offences, offer to clarify the issue, change the ways in how they address and approach certain issues when the next, learn from the mistakes of their past issues or past gaffes and not repeat it. An apology is always welcome. If they have made a mistake, or if a mistake is made, public apology is very much welcome. But beyond that, if you're not considering resignation or resting yourself, then taking yourself out of public office, then there isn't much actually politicians can do in this type of situation.
And to bring it back to Dato' Saifuddin's latest FINAS issue, did you feel that his clarifications proved satisfactory?
Well, of course, it took two press statements by the minister to explain the issue. We will all wait and see. The public will wait and see whether or not he will uphold what is being said in the press releases. And hopefully, media freedom continues to be upheld, and that is a very important foundation of a democracy to have media freedom, and also the ability to post videos on TikTok, to post videos at Insta Story. I don't want that to be taken away from me as a private citizen.
Right, and what can the public do to demand accountability from government leaders, and what forms can that take?
Well, I think making the right noises on social media is something, an avenue that public can channel their energy towards, because most of these politics today, they're very sensitive to the political noise and the political voice coming from social media. So if everyone gets to social media and try to defend their rights as private citizens, I think the voice will be heard. In certain other democracies, of course, you write to your MP, you petition to your MP, but that can and should be done. But I don't think Malaysia has that practice largely. But yeah, things like that should be encouraged.
Ami, thank you so much for sharing your take with us. That was Ami Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. And we've been receiving messages about this story. This one first up from Fendi asking, how about broken promises, like, say, the manifesto, for example? And I think that's a good one to bring up, right? Because that was also quite a point of contention during Pakatan's time you keep making mistakes, you keep having to explain that, well, this is just a minister learning on a job.
See, that's the thing, though. When we talk about Malaysia's political culture, I don't think previous governments have harped on manifestos as much as the previous Pakatan government did. So I think there's something to be said about trying to get used to the fact that manifestos aren't the end-all, be-all of political policies, right?
Yeah, for sure. And we have Nesh here bringing up a separate point and one that was brought up by Amir, citing the example of Chua Soi Lek, who resigned as MCA president and from his ministerial position. Intimate tapes are always abound, at some point. When one of the latest pieces of information, in quotes, came out, we were just like, okay. So that, I don't know if those are necessarily... Well, I think actually those can be categorized as mistakes, right? And we're seeing that, for example, intimate or romantic affairs happening in other countries.
Yep.
Say in New Zealand, most recently, where person had to resign because they had an intimate affair with their staff.
Right.
But, you know, like Ami said, we have very different standards here. There's the Western standard, then there's also the Malaysian standard.
For sure. So it remains to be seen where that'll head to in the future.
Yeah. And we also have this message here from Kamran Nizam that says, scandals must not be mistaken with allegations by the opposition, though. Mm. Our political scene has too much of that, of those kinds of allegations, in my honest opinion.
Yeah. And yeah, it's very important to distinguish between the two. And sometimes I think we get so caught up in emotions and social media drives that we're unable to, make clear between a serious political mistake and something that's, you know, a slip up.
Yeah. And at the end of it, really understanding what the consequences of the mistakes were.
For sure.
Sending in your thoughts, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 7:30 news coming up. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.